Opa Gundam style, everybody. Welcome back to Wow Cool Robot, the world's number one and only Gundam podcast sponsored by Kaiba Corp. That's right, motherfucker. They're doing my show now, too. I'm allowed to say that because I work at the Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. I'm Max. I use he, him pronouns. And with me today is...
I'm Phoenix. I use they, them pronouns.
Yu-Gi-Oh's fucking good.
I was not expecting that we're sponsored now. So, when is my dual disc going to come in the mail or whatever?
No, it's not a dual disc anymore. It's going to be a dual writer. I hope you have garage space.
Oh, man, I don't even have a driver's license, hopefully I can pay the insurance or, like, the taxes on it. Like, I don't have a, like, I don't even have a driver's license, let alone a motorcycle one.
I don't think Seto Kaiba really cares. As long as someone wants to ride, that's what's most important.
It's like, I mean, I can't even do a bicycle one. Like, that is just, like, something incredibly embarrassing. It's like, I guess, like, I mean, I have been admitting embarrassing things about myself. Like, yeah, I don't know how to ride a bicycle. And I also tweeted that I ended up having to switch to Spotify from Apple Music because my Apple Music recommendations have no chill and they are always bringing up that time I fell asleep for 10 hours playing Despacito.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, like, I fell asleep for 10 hours with Despacito on loop, and it's like, my Apple Music recommendations, it's like, hey, Despacito, you still want to listen to Despacito?
You love listening to Despacito. Turn that shit up. Yeah, I'm looking at my recommendations. It's mostly pop punk, which is kind of like the world I like curating for myself anyway.
It's like, I mean, like, I don't really care about if, like, my year-end playlist looks pretty. Like, one time I ended up getting, like, do what you want, because a pirate is free, you are a pirate, in, like, my top five 1 year. I do not care about my playlist aesthetics, but... I feel like my Apple Music recommendation algorithm is, like, hella passive-aggressive and will never live down that time I listened to Despacito for 10 hours when I was asleep and got reincarnated in another world as a slime girl who only speaks in the lyrics to Despacito.
Oh. It's fucking difficult communication.
Yeah.
Well,
it was. But thankfully, I woke up after 10 hours. This was in, like, 2017.
Right. Oh, I can't imagine anyone's listening to Despacito for that long in modern day. But, dear listener, you're not listening to Despacito. You're listening to Gundam, the Gundam podcast. I almost forgot the name of it, and I almost called it Mobile Suit Breakdown. No, that's the better one. This is the silly one.
Okay. I'm going first this week again. We kind of got mixed up last time because everything was mixed up last. Anyway, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, Episode 19. Not the best way. Mirene, Gule, and Prospera arrive on Earth. As Prospera heads out for evil reasons, Mirene meets with Earthian representatives and Gule goes to find Seto. A boy from Donna Fold, Mirene tries to explain to the representatives that she wants open dialogue between Earthians and Spacians and rejects the Earthian demand that both sides leave the other entirely. They tell her they'll stop protesting for 10 days to wait out the presidential election. Given that she wins, Gule learns from Sato that Shadik Zanelli is the one behind Plant Quetta, and immediately heads back to Atacacia to find proof of his treachery. Seeing things begin to fall into place, Prospera enacts her plan, kicking off a bloody battle on Earth as she finds and destroys a hangar full of Lifra, built by the supposedly defunct Ox Earth with funding from the Space Assembly League. The plot thickens.
Mom, you can't do that.
Mom,
you can't do that.
pick me up. I'm scared.
I don't want mom to pick me up. She's doing some fucked up shit right now.
It's like, I mean, it's like she just freaking lost it.
She did. Fuck, it's good. Prosper's cool. She's a really fucking cool character. Namely, well, I think.
You think what?
I'm amazed that, I guess, like, as this shows Char, she seems to be on the very much on the upper end of competency for a Char.
Yeah, she's actually smart.
She's not, like, expositing shit to fucking everyone around her who will listen. She's quiet and plots and plans and makes backroom deals instead of just parading around everything.
Yeah.
Damn, we could have had one who knew what they were doing the whole time.
Like, she's smart. Like, I mean, it's like, I kind of think, like, maybe it's because she does not know that Katanji killed her husband, and maybe it's because she also doesn't really care that her husband is murdered, and she just cares about, like, Gundam now. But it's like, I mean, she did not just go and, like, try and, like, murk Katanji. She just went off on her own to, like, go and, like, take over all those Lifriths all over the place and just, like, fuck shit up on Earth. And, like, instead of, like, oh, like, that guy killed my husband, like, okay, I think she either doesn't know that that's the guy who did it, or she just doesn't care that her husband got killed anymore. She wants revenge because everybody is getting rid of Gundams, and she is mad about that.
She's the meme of, my husband is dead, I don't want to remarry, I only want permit, see my Gundam, click here. See my daughter, click here. She's great. Anyway, yeah. we'll get to Prosper's cool fucking trick in a bit. So we go to Earth, and everyone's kind of like looking at it from the permanent elevator, and Mirin ordinarily would be happy to go to Earth, because I don't think she's ever actually been to Earth before, but she's for business, not pleasure.
Whatever, like, connection she was trying to get to on Earth, like, I don't know if they've, like, just given up, or, like, yeah, like, Feng was originally wanted to, like, smuggle her out to Earth.
Yeah, what the fuck was she going to Earth to do? Because I don't think stopping the protest was her plan, considering that was an idea that Prospera put in her head. So yeah, maybe I think she was just going to go to Earth to, like, live as a regular person away from all this business shit.
Yeah, it's like, well, like, this business stuff, it's like, the original plan for, like, pretty much everything in her presentation, because, like, the Prospera thing about, like, stopping the riots might have been, like, a bit of a last-minute inclusion. It was just, like, hey, like, I am here to try and do business stuff. I could get you, like, economic opportunities. I could, like, build a factory. Hopefully we are going to be building all of these cool leg stuff and doing, like, med stuff and not building weapons. Like, trust me, promise me, like, I do not want to build weapons. Like, I am completely,
I just
want to
build legs.
Yeah, like, look at these cool legs. Like, Earthians in space developed them, and it's like, yeah, so, like, don't close the country. Keep it open.
Yeah, well, again, that we'll get to there soon. So they head to Earth. Prosper is plotting some fucking shit already, because she talks to Godoy, her assistant, talking about how...
I forgot his name.
Yeah, Godoy. Talking about how the Space Assembly League is on her ass. People are after her for reasons, and she's doing things for reasons that will become clear by the end of this episode.
Oh no, here come the space cops. Space cops help. Space.
So, despite how well she was doing last week, it looks like Soleta's finally hit her breaking point, because she's got depression. Aww.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We've fucking... I get it, you know? Damn. Shit sucks.
Yeah, she got dumped by her own mech.
Yeah, her sister clone said, fuck you, goodbye, and pushed her out into space. We get a weird fucking startling shot of... It's just Cecilia's feet. That's all it is. It's Martin fucking painting her toes. Hey.
Yeah, it's like,
hey, Okochi. Okochi, why? Why'd you put that in there? Hey, buddy. Why?
It's like, did you briefly get like possessed by like Dan Schneider?
Yeah,
like,
the ghost of Quentin Tarantino.
Now.
It's gross. It was weird. He's like her indentured servant, I guess, since she captured him in the Haro confessional. He's just like doing shit for her, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's like, and it's weird, right? Because she's kind of like giving him life lessons the whole time too. Because it's like, it almost seems like she's helping him work through his guilt for having turned in Nika. And he's like, I did what I had to do.
Therapist. She's like the school. She is like somehow like running like the school as like the popular girl. And like she originally signed up to be the school guidance counselor to try and get like materials for like her burn book. But then she's like, maybe I'm actually good at being a therapist. Maybe I should try becoming a therapist. Like, yeah. Too bad I'm at Gundam school that only teaches Gundam stuff and not therapy stuff. So, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, you don't want to learn the Gundam style of therapy. It always ends in fucking beam explosions.
I was going to see somebody getting slapped.
If only it only ended that way. yeah. But we cut over to Quinn Harbor on Earth, which is the city that Mirren and Gwell and Prosper are in.
Where is Quinn Harbor supposed to be? Like, I thought they said it. Like, are they in Michigan or are they in Brazil?
They are. I'd put money they're not in Michigan. So Quinn Harbor, it's like a port city, but it has palm trees that we see. I don't know where Quinn Harbor is supposed to be. Actually, fucking Gundam Quinn Harbor. I don't expect to find an answer here.
Because, I mean, let's just leave this to Thon and Nina when they finally get to covering G-Witch in 20 years.
Yeah. Quinn Harbor somewhere on Earth. Who could possibly say where? Fucking probably the Philippines where Hathaway takes place, too. They're being escorted by mobile suits, and Mirren's kind of complaining about it. But, you know, Prospera says, oh, you need protection. Kananji is like, yeah, if we don't have, like, badass mobile suits flying around, they're probably just like kill us, so we need them here. No one's happy about it.
Yeah, and it's like Prospera, like, lady, like, that you killed your husband, like, he's just like, but like, if you did that, that would also mean like killing Mirren and Ghoul, so I guess like this is not the best time, but like, come on, he's just like right there.
No, she clearly doesn't give a shit right now.
Yeah.
We do get a really quick cutaway scene of Shadeek and the real Elon and the pale CEOs talking about like what the fuck to do about Mirren. I didn't realize that people knew that there was a real Elon running around.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if anyone would know, it'd be Shadeek, but it's very strange to see. We see and then we cut to fucking girls' night, a nice little tea party. We see Belmeria and Fang Jun, who just, again, eating cakes and creams and snacks, drinking tea together, and they're having a whale of a time.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Come on, Belmeria. Like,
tell us your secrets. Wouldn't you like this beautiful Twinkie? Please tell me what you know. I just want to have a nice girls' night. She's being so sweet to her right now.
Yeah, it's like it's like kind of funny. It's like, And it's like Belmaria is like freaking out, and I think she's like been freaking out for like the past like few episodes. It's like, I fucked up. I regret every single action I've taken.
Yeah, fuck. Why'd I make a fake kid? Oh, god damn it. Why'd I do that?
Why did I operate a child broiler?
why did I turn on the boy oven? Oh, fuck. But again, like, Fang Jun's part of the Space Assembly League. She clearly has the kind of resources and license to just kind of like capture Belmeria and interrogate her, but instead she's being very good cop about it, and again, straight up throwing her a tea party. It's really cute, and they're in like a fucking storage closet doing this. It's very, very funny.
It's like, I mean, I saw people kind of like joking about like old woman Yuri date night.
That's cool. I want that kind of Gundam show. Fuck this school. When we move back to Quinn Harbor and we see the gang who like ends up at City Hall, everyone's mad, but Mirren says, oh, they don't have weapons, it's fine, and just kind of walks out into the crowd. And fucking,
like, I think like we also are missing like this shot where it was like just on the screen for like a second where it was like a bunch of like Earthian protest graffiti, like really neat protest graffiti. They have like really good spray can pens.
Yeah, yeah. They have very high quality stencils.
And it was like, something is like, fuck the Benerick. And it was like, the F was covered up by like another poster. Mm-hmm. But it was like very clearly saying, in Gundam, fuck the Benerick group.
Fudge, Gundam said, fudge the Benerick group.
No, like it wasn't fudge, it was fuck. Like the F was just covered up and you got the UCK. Gundam said fuck.
Hey, you can't spell fuck without UC. That's Gundam, baby.
Yeah.
Serendipitously, when Gwell walks out of the limo, Seto, the kid from Dawn of Fold earlier, like bumps in him and is like, hey, Spatian, give me some shit. And Gwell's like, what the fuck?
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's Seto. He was just wearing a hat.
Yeah, it's so Gwell just walks away with Kananji to find this kid, and they like walk through a J crew on the way because they get an outfit change. But
and it's like they just like change outfits, and it's like Kananji looks like everybody's uncle on vacation.
He's like business casual Kananji, and Gwell's wearing a pre-ripped like Henley. It's fucking choice. Yeah. It's really funny.
It's like, I have to say that, like, the casual look suits you a lot better than, like, that stuffy business suit. And it's like...
Oh, yeah, he's not meant to be a business boy.
Maybe, like, Miami survived, and they're like, yeah, like, and Kananji's like, yeah, let's do, like, Miami Vice. What? Like, I'm cultured. I know the classics, like, Miami Vice.
Hmm.
Like, maybe Miami somehow survived in this one, and they're in Quinn Harbor is just in Miami.
Quinn Harbor, Miami, Florida. Yeah, it's a city within a city, of course. Yeah.
It's so, like Neo Miami, Mega Miami. Like
Neo Miami is pretty good. Yeah. So Miyarin goes to the city hall and she's talking to the negotiators, the protesters sent. They fucking hate her guts immediately. Like they won't shake her hand. She kind of goes to start talking about her plans for Earth, and they say, oh, like, 1,238 people are missing from the Plant Quitta incident. Let's talk about that instead.
It's like, we don't want your factory, bitch. Like, we don't want the rest of your mom's peach cobbler. Like,
get off our yard. Fucking leave.
We are being oppressed. Like, lady, like, read the fucking room. Like, she is, like, again, like I said, that, like, Miyarin is trying to be, like, the peace princess in this show. And it's, like, she is really, really, like, mixing peace princess mode and Gundam girl boss mode. And, like, it is not working.
I mean, to be fair, it's working until Prospera makes it not work.
Yeah. It's not working, and there is like a reason why like Relina and Un were not the same person. Even though like Un had like that mental breakdown, so like
she might have a mental breakdown watching this fucking show. we get a little scene of Lauda, who's super super pissed at the Jaturk engineer because they just have a Gundam sitting around, and again no one told him. Miyarin and Gwell learned about this thing yesterday, and Lauda's like, what the fuck is this thing doing here?
Yeah, like, why is there a goth girlfriend in here? Like, I did not order the Gundam goth GF. Like, what? And also, isn't Gundam supposed to be a medical company? Why is there a Gundam here? Like, honestly. What? Like, who ordered? It's like, okay, and also, like, hey, who ordered, like, this is like, somebody ordered, like, 20 pizzas to come to my house, but worse.
It's a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, it's like a prank, but like I used to work at a pizza restaurant and it's like, hey, if you're going to order 20 pizzas and it's like to go to somebody's house, it's like, okay, like you are going to have ordered that ahead. And it's like, you are just like some kid who was like trying to prank us. And it's like, people still do that prank. Like when I was at the pizza place, I got it like twice. I got like a kid trying to call like 20 pizzas to somebody's house twice. But it's like, this is not like 20 pizzas. I'm pretty sure that like the Jaturk house could like use up like 20 pizzas, but like not an entire Gundam.
No. Well, we'll see. It's clearly a Chekhov's Gundam. It's going to do something later. We see a little scene of Noria, who's still fucking, oh, she's so mad. She's so mad right now. She's just like whispering, die, 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 die to herself.
And she's like sketching furiously.
Yeah.
She doesn't just snap her pencil in half.
She like drops the notebook and Elon picks it up and Nori is like, fuck you! And runs and they like tussle and Nika's sitting in the corner like, what the hell is going on right now? Nika's done nothing but watch these two like interact and it has been deleterious to everyone's mental health.
It's like the worst, like, it's like, I do not want to be on like the worst reality show ever. Mm-hmm. It's like, could you guys like stop fighting?
Get me out of this shitty room.
Elon is like seeing like his, and like Elon has seen like Noria's like cool goth girl art and he's like, oh, like that is cool. Like, and also like it's like a dead bird that is like so cool and deep because birds represent freedom and flying and that one is dead.
He says this directly to the camera as he holds up the notepad. Noria kind of ends up admitting that she is afraid to die after all, and Sophie dying really put a fucking wrench into her mental health after and all this.
She misses Sophie so much.
Yeah. Oh, let's hope she sees her soon. As we go back to Quinn Harbor, Mirene, like when they're taking a break, she's watching the Gundarm video on her phone. She's watching Slita do her cool TikTok dance. It's like, cute.
Even though Sophie thought that Soleta's TikToks were cringe, Mirene doesn't think Soleta's TikToks were cringe.
Her TikToks
Hopefully
are base.
They will make this out. Hopefully they will make it out of this show in one piece and like Soleta can go on making all the not cringe TikToks her little heart can handle with Mirene, her wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, not right now, she's not. But when she comes, when Mirene goes back in to negotiate, she shows them the legs and she says, let's start over. We're a medical organization. And the guy says, well, good thing I'm a doctor. Let's talk about these cool fucking legs. And it's starting to work.
Wow. Cool prosthetic.
Wow. Cool pants. He loves these pants. Hopefully
it won't make you like sleepwalk at night and steal cheese.
God. She talks about how she wants to negotiate more, and the representatives just basically say, we'd love to, but you're not the president, so we will tell everyone to stop protesting for 10 days until the presidential election occurs, and then we'll talk, and, maybe, we'll see how it goes. We cut back to Astacasia as Suleta, 3:34 a.m., going back for more olives. Choo Choo like catches her in front of the fridge like a wild animal. It's
like
funny as hell.
64 slices of American cheese.
It's great. Her hair is down. She's like, oh, and then Choo Choo drags her to breakfast.
Like she is in like full fucking goblin mode.
Mm-hmm. She's gobbling the cheese out the fridge for sure.
Yeah, she is like eating like raw spam, like spam, just like right out of the can, just like taking a bagel. Bite out of it.
Hey, spam, gotta say, not bad, pretty good.
But like you have, but like just to like not just like take a chunk of a bite out of that raw out of the can, like you have to like musubi it first.
Yeah, that's usually, oh fuck, spam musubi is so good. I can't talk about it, I'll get hungry. So they have a very nice scene where everyone has breakfast with like milk from Tico, and Martin even shows back up, and he kind of explains that he did why he did what he did. Basically, it was the only thing he could do, and he wanted to do what was best for everyone. And everyone kind of agrees, like, yeah, it sucks that you had to turn Nika in, but like, it was the only thing you could have done. You were trying to do what was best for everyone, so everyone's understanding, but it still sucks. And this is like a very important theme that the next episode kind of comes back to.
Everything sucks there.
Everything sucks and we're all gonna die is the main theme of G-Witch. Very sad.
Yeah.
So we get a little bit of a lore dump as we head back to Earth. Gwell and Kananji are in an alley talking to Seto, and Seto says, hey, can I join your cool school, please? And Gwell says, I'm not in charge of that. And he says, well, isn't there a cool program where they take little space orphans like me, and you raise them and you can get really good at things? And Kananji's like, oh yeah, Grassic has a program like that. And Seto's like, yeah, the prince is from there. And they both say, what the fuck did you say, little kid?
What the fuck? Like, holy shit. Like,
Kananji pins this kid to the wall and is like, spill the beans, bitch.
Yeah, like, tell me everything. And it's like, he is sort of like being like the bad cop to things, good cop here.
Yeah, Kananji, you gotta give him a little tea party and then he'll tell you everything. He'll be all nice about
it. It's like he is in just like this outfit that's like, like Miami Vice, we are in Neo Miami. Like, this is Neo Miami. Like, yeah. And then he's like slams that kid up against the wall. And it's like, yeah, like, Grassley operates like this factory, and like all of like the girl pilots who are around Shadeek came from that school that just basically like takes orphans and trains them to be just more pawns, to just well be another cog in the murder machine.
Yeah, it's the Sarius Zanelli Memorial School for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
Sarius is still supposedly Sarius is still alive.
Yeah, that motherfucker's 150 years old. They named it. They thought he was gonna die. He just never did. And they're like, God damn it, we can't change the name. We made the plaque and everything.
Yeah, it's like I do not want to have to spend more money on this. Like, let's just like keep the name.
Yeah,
and it's
he's gotta die eventually, right?
It's like they're gonna, and it's like no matter what you did. If you're going there, like, no matter what you wanted to do, like, Seto didn't even want to, like, become a pilot, but, like, all the Grassley girlies in Shadeek are all pilots, and that's where they get all their pilots from.
Yeah. But basically, you know, they hear all this, and they realize, oh, Shadeek's behind literally everything. We gotta fucking go now.
Yeah, like, we gotta go. Like that kid is busted.
Yeah, that kid, we're gonna fuck that kid up. We're gonna dunk that motherfucker in a toilet ASAP. So,
we are, like, yeah, like, his whole, like, cringe shtick is, like, so, like, his whole cringe shtick is so, like, tired. Like, I still do not know if Shadeek even actually cares about Earth.
I think he does. He says some stuff with Gwell in the next episode we'll get into that I think it kind of, like, you start to see his true motivations. So they leave, and they kind of, like, call Prosper on the way out saying, hey, we gotta go, something happened. And she says, oh, all right, I'm gonna have a normal time while you're gone. And then as soon as they leave, she fucking activates all of the gun bits. And
like, she McFreaking lost it. Even though, like, she was just, like, right on the phone with the guy who killed her husband. Are we sure that this isn't also Ichiro Okuchi's adaptation of A Comedy of Errors, too, at the same time also being The Tempest?
I mean, again, we're recording this a couple of episodes, like, behind, so we know what happens as of episode, I think, 20, 21. The Tempest comes back into play in a big way.
Yeah.
So,
wait to talk about that next week with you.
Yep. So she activates the gun bits and makes a big data storm net over the whole city, and basically does the thing that we've seen Permet can do, like take over other Permet, where she basically makes it look like the protesters are firing on the Benrit group, and she's like, oh, we're being fired upon, guess I gotta do shit. So basically igniting like a battle across the entire city, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. She goes and she flies out and she finds a hangar full of Lafrits for some reason.
She McFreaking loses it. Like, everything is blowing up. Kaboom.
Her phone's blowing up. She goes to this Lafrith hangar. I don't know why this is here. I understand most of what's going on, I'd say. I'm a little confused as to why this hangar is specifically in Quinn Harbor. Because it's not like she... Did she have them move it to Quinn Harbor? Quinn Harbor just happened to also be where, like, all the main Earthian protesters are? I'm not sure. Regardless, though, there is a hangar.
That's like a whole, where, like, maybe, like, Ox Earth was based out of Quinn Harbor.
Yeah, and if it's, like, a big metropolitan port city, it makes sense that, like, a lot of things would just be there at the same time. But
like, 50 fucking Lifriths?
Not anymore, though.
So, like, apparently, like, Sophia and Nori are, like, code names, and we never get to learn what they were code names for.
No, yeah, they're just... They're, it, that. What? No, those were their names. They were just like two of the many Lafrith pilots, though. Because like Ox Earth was supplying Dawn of Fold with Lafriths, and that's and like they got the cool customs of them. But this is full of like the mass production type Lafriths that we would see in like 21 years ago.
Yeah, like the one that that Aerie like fucked up all those dudes in.
She was in the main Lafrith, but there's like the Lafrith mass production types that were like the kind of like dark gray ones. I think these are the same ones.
Yeah, the ones that like those I forgot their names. Like they don't even have names on like the Gundam like page and profiles, but like that lesbian couple, that other one.
Yeah, no, I think they're like the pre-production type. Regardless, there was a hangar full of Lafriths here because Prospera blows up the fuck out of all of them.
Yeah, it's like also like I think like Kananji, like when he was like with Gyul, it's like I don't think that I think that before like we go and like you might be like jumping to conclusions, like I think he got like detective brain from like the Miami Vice cosplay. So it's like, yeah, like let's go and try and find Sarius first, like before you like jump to conclusions and go and like fuck up Shadeek, because like I don't know, like maybe I'm having a detective phase, like maybe I want to switch careers from being a witch hunter to just a regular
they need to find Sarius in order to like stick it to Shadeek, because you can't just go and accuse Shadeek of plotting all of these things without any proof. But regardless, they have to head to Astacasia anyway, because they realize, oh, he would be keeping Sarius where he can keep an eye on him closely, so he's going to be at the school. We see over at the... Where the fuck even are Feng and Bell? They're either in the school or near the school or somewhere.
Like, somewhere. It's like, I don't know. But, like, they're in a janitor's closet somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's like, Feng is like, my bosses are, like, super shady.
Yeah, so Feng basically reveals to Bell here that Ox Earth has been secretly financed by the Space Assembly League to keep on making these Lafriths.
Even though it's like supposedly like out of business.
Yeah, because it's been defunct for 21 years. And Fang and her partner are like, I guess, rogue agents within the Space Assembly League trying to stop this.
It's like, this is like, I am on like my X-Files stuff. I don't know what actually happened in X-Files, so yeah.
What I think is going on is the Space Assembly is funding Ox Earth, funneling those Lafriths into Dawn of Fold and other groups like them to destabilize Earth in order to, like, secure power for Spacian industries, because they're, like, sending things to fight and suppress these people. It's all a fucking money-making, war profiteering scheme. We've been talking about it all fucking season.
Like, Shadeek, your ideas are not original. Like, you are not original. Like, come on.
Yeah, so it's flames and death and bad and on Earth rather, and like Bell is still talking to Fang, and Fang says, "Yeah, Plant Quetta is important for Prospera because she's trying to destroy these Lafriths." So it's like not bad that she's doing that specifically, but like she's starting causing a whole lot of trouble while she's doing it, and
she's like a loose cannon. She's just like wild card bitches. She has her plans, like maybe she would have been useful to us if she wasn't so unstable, but yeah, like gotta get the Plant Quetta,
because Plant Quetta holds a component of Quiet Zero, and we still don't know what the fuck it is yet. We'll find out soon. So gotta go there, and then Fang gets shot and killed.
Like, I'm not sure if she is. It's like, hopefully,
oh no, like, she is 100%. Well, because she gets shot in the back by Godoy, who's just there. He's like, you've found us out. Time to die. And like Fang kind of pushes Bell and her partner like through like a closing door as the doors close, and then like you see Godoy approach Fang, and you hear like two or three more gunshots. Like she's fucking done. She's toasted.
Yeah, it's like a message to all bad bitches: survive. Like, I really want to see Space Auntie again, and like I am in denial that she died.
I dare say you'll be in denial for the rest of the season. The baddest bitch of all is still alive, and her name is Prosper Mercury. The news starting to break that the Earth is on fire and everyone's dead because some shit went down in Quinn Harbor. Elon loves it. He's like kind of clapping and hooting, and the real Elon, I should say. He's hooting and hollering because he's an idiot and he loves carnage. And Shadeek, like, begins immobilizing all of his girls because he knows that Gwell's going to come. He knows that things are going to go down here. So, like, they're all getting noble suits. They're ready to extract Sirius from the school.
Yeah, and it's like they're trying to get, like, Grandpa a little bit away before, like, he can get, like, before, like, the space cops come. Like, oh, no, here come the space cops. Space trial, putting the system on trial. So, guilty. Go to space jail. Everybody go to space jail. Everybody needs to go to space jail.
So Meereen is like in shambles over this. She's like, oh fuck, this is all my fault. I mean, it's not, girl, but she doesn't realize that. And everyone's watching the news, and Suetta's watching the news with all of Earth House, and she kind of understands. She says, oh, because you see a shot of just Ariel standing in the flames, and Suetta realizes, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like she sees it, and it's like, oh no, like, Ariel's there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, when she sees it, she kind of realizes the thing that Martin was saying earlier, how he tried to do what was best, and it was the only thing he could do. She realizes, oh, that's what Eri did. Like, she couldn't do anything on her own. She's being used by Prospera, but she's still doing what she thinks is best by helping her mother. It's not the best way, but it was the only thing she could do. And it's just like, what a fucked up viewpoint. Goddamn.
Yeah.
The girl ain't right.
Maybe. Early, like, that's a baby.
That's a babby. And that's where the episode kind of ends with, like, you know, everyone just looking over exploded Quinn Harbor thinking, this isn't good. which will bring us to G-Witch episode 20. The End of Hope. As the news in Quinn Harbor gets out, things get even worse. Shadeek mobilizes his girls to hold off Gwell and Dominicus while they get Sirius out of the school, and he allows the door that was holding Elan, Noria, and Nika to finally be unlocked. Noria, in a rage, gets in her Gundam and begins destroying the campus, spurred on by Spatian treatment of her and her loved ones. Shadeek and Gwell square off one final time, with Shadeek finally able to accept his sins and take action for once. Gwell eventually is able to defeat him and recapture Sirius with Dominicus' help. In the campus, Elan is finally able to get through to Noria and stop her destruction, only for a Dominicus suit to snipe her cockpit, killing her as she asks for Elan's real name. He snaps, flying off in the aftermath of the battle. After seeing all of the destruction Noria wrought on the campus, Suetta is hard at work trying to find other students to rescue, tasking Earth House with helping her in her efforts. Why did they call this episode The End of Hope? God.
Thematic!
It's so thematic, and the best part is you don't get the episode reveal. I mean, you see the episode if you're, like, watching on Crunchyroll, but, like, you don't get the little, like, title card. You get the title card, like, 18 minutes into the episode. It's really great.
It's
so dramatic.
Yeah, all that happened.
Yeah, the episode's called, That Just Happened.
Yeah. And, Shadeek probably learned a really good lesson about, like, committing crimes. Do not call the cops when you are committing a crime.
He never called the cops. He called, like, he got campus security involved, but they were, like, undercover for him.
Yeah.
Honestly, they wouldn't have, I don't think they would have found this out if Seto hadn't been there on Earth. Like, they just got lucky, I think.
Yep. And it's like, yeah, like, I think they were, like, with, like, Buell and, like, when Buell and Kananji are in, like, the shuttle, they, like, talked when they were, like, getting close to Atacassia, and it's, like, they were talking with Shadeek, and it's, like, hey, are you doing anything suspicious? And it's, like, Shadeek and his girlies are, like, yeah, we're, like, all on the up and up. In fact, we're going to call the Space Assembly League and show them that we are all on the up and up, and it's, like, yeah, nothing to see here, nothing suspicious. Like, yeah, we called the other space cops. Yeah.
Ooh, a lot of space cops around here.
Everything's Gucci, like,
Everything's Gucci.
Yeah, like, we don't need you, like, special Catholic anti-Gundam space cops. We just need the regular ones. We're on the up and up.
No, just the ones that are in our pocket. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So, Noria snaps when she sees the news and... Because, again, Spacians oppressing Earthians. Who would have fucking guessed it? Gwell's, like, heading to Astacassia. He's there, basically. Shadeek heads out in the Michaelis to, like, meet Gwell. Michaelis has, like, a new spear thing. It looks fine. Cecilia and Roji are hanging out with Martin. Roji's using his Haro, like, laser vision to try and interrogate Martin for some reason. I don't know what he thought he was accomplishing here. Because he says, why is Ariel on Earth? And Martin says, I don't know. They don't tell me shit. And he's like, I'm here to tell you that I patched things up with Earth House. It's like, well, damn, I bust out the Haro interrogation eyes for nothing.
It's like, what does he think he is doing?
Oh, it's great. It's such a also, weird
it's like,
bit.
Like Gundarm with like the other Earth House kids. Like Gundarm is currently being like cooked on Space Yelp.
they're cooking him in the comments. Yeah,
it's like great. I mean, like the ghost of Eon the Seer ain't got nothing on this. Like he just sold some shitty copper, and it's like, oh, by the way, like your mascot is gone on. Like, your little Gundam mascot has gone on, like, a terrorism bender in Quinn Harbor. It's like, how will Ariel's public image recover from this?
Mm-hmm. It won't! Spoiler alert! It's bad. Like, Lilik is even pissed about this, and she never gets mad at anything. She just kind of walks up and turns the screen off and says, well, we can't read the comments. The screen's off, and, like, walks off in a huff. Fucking go, Lilik. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Suleta is trying to go to class and keep herself distracted from all of this, and everyone is texting her saying, your company's fucking sucks, it's cringe.
Yeah, it's like, good. TikToks are cringe, Suleta, yeah, like, give up.
Yeah, Petra is nice, though. After class, Petra says, you didn't learn shit.
I have to say about, like, this, school scene, it's like, I actually really like the sort of, like, exposition classroom thing that they were doing, like, I actually paid attention to what the teacher was saying, and they were talking about, like, oh, yeah, these are, like, space medicine issues that we all haven't really figured out, still haven't figured out yet. Like, we ended up, like, expanding into space way too fast in hindsight. But, like, well, we're here. Let's still continue doing a capitalism in space. So, yeah, like...
We need a ton of permit to make ourselves able to stay in space a little bit better.
I think she wasn't, like, looking at the comments. I think she got, like, a news story about, like, yeah, like, Gundarm questioning over, like, Quinn Harbor attack. And it's like, yeah. Like, she's just, like, looking at the news and she isn't seeing the comments.
Yeah, her ass is not learning. But Petra helps her. Petra hands her, like, an iPad and, like, scans her notes and says, yeah, I'm doing this to thank you because you did save my life in Fortnite. And Suleta says, ah, are you in love with Lauda? And Petra's like, that's why people don't like you. You say weird shit like that.
It's, like, tsundere much. And it's, like, she, like, airdropped to, like, Suleta was, like, had, like, the completely wrong notes for the, she had the wrong notes for the lesson opening. It's like, yeah, like, why are you, like, still here? Like, you are barely paying attention in class. Like, just, like, if you're doing this, like, why are you still here? And it's like, Celeste is like, this is, like, the only thing I can think to do right now.
Yeah, poor Suleta. But anyway, she's, like, walking off with Petra. Gwell mobilizes in the Daryl Bald. It has new shoulder thingies.
No, it's
fine.
Like, yeah. They met up with, like, Lauda. Like, they actually, like, Lauda went out to meet his brother. And
yeah,
like,
that's right. That's right, yeah. Lauda tries to ask him why the fuck they have a Gundam, and Hingwell's like, I gotta go, bye!
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I have 20 pizzas to eat right now, sorry.
Lauda, I'm so hungry right now, you need to let me go right now, the big boy appetite, bye! Yeah. He flies off into Daryl Bald.
And, like, he has the Darabald and has, like, these cool shoulder shields. I have to say, I really like the Darabald. And, like, I actually thought it was going to be Lauda's suit. And I'm still being wrong and I'm still mad at it. Like,
Lauda's going to get a pretty cool suit soon, though. So, yeah. We'll tune in next week for that. Shadeek and Gwell fly out and, like, they're kind of... Shadeek's buzzing Gwell and, like, trying to provoke him into attacking. And Gwell's like, if you approach, I'll hit you. And he starts, like, firing blindly, kind of.
It's
and,
like, and, we are fucking under attack.
Yeah, Shadeek, like, purposely flies into one of Gwell's stray shots and is like, okay, you started it, technically. And Kandi's like, ah, fuck, he fell into his trap, so...
Hit me, like, you're the one who hit me first, like, yeah, so, like, everything is fair game. And, like, when Mom comes around, like, I'm going to say that you started it, so, yeah, like... Also, the space cop, the other space cops are here. The Catholic anti-Gundam space cops are here. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they start fighting. Dominicus mobilizes. They're in a bunch of, they're in like some, I think they're in Bigear Pensa or Bigear something or others. They're, and again, they're so much more common than these fucking kids are. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, like they're like, yeah, like we are fucking fighting. Like, I'm sorry, Kananji, you are not going to keep playing detective right now. We are fucking under attack.
We are under attack. Kananji's able to actually get into the school before anyone else and says, hey, everyone, stay put. It's weird, right? He doesn't tell them to run away or find shelter. He just says, stay where you are, which is a terrible idea when there's mobile suits running around. But anyway, at this point,
he kind of was just like, stay calm. Like,
keep calm and carry on, students.
There's like people fighting outside. Hopefully we can get this under control. And
Ron Howard voice. He does not get it under control.
And then it's like me, Noreoff McFreaking loses it. He had like everything under it. He just did not have, Noreoff McFreaking loses it in his calculations.
Yeah, so Noria and Elon and Nika had been let free earlier. Once Shadid kind of flew out with the girls and started getting serious. Yeah,
it's like, I think maybe they were all being like held by like Grassley, and it's like now they're moving. Like the only one that they really care about is Sarius, and it's like nope, no really old guy here. He's somewhere else playing bingo and drinking playing prune juice and drinking bingo. Yeah,
that's right. So yeah, the door unlocks, and as soon as it does, Noria just fucking bolts. She starts hauling ass into the hallway, trying to find her Gundam. Elon chases after her.
And like, he found her like cool goth girl art.
Yeah, he's like, you dropped your cool notebook! So he chases after her, and Nika is just kind of wandering. She says, oh, well, alright, it's a living. Noria gets in the thorn, and
why do they still have those on campus? Like, wouldn't they have, like, gotten rid of it after, like, that attack?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine that some Banneret organizations probably says, oh, we could probably research this and make some money. So they're keeping them around. And Noria gets in her thorn.
Like, throw it on, like, the pile with, like, all the other cars my grandpa said that he would fix up. And, like...
that's so real.
Talking is like, no, like, Noria, don't attack. Like, everybody is already on
Noria, yes, attack.
And it's like, let's run away together. And like, we have what, like, if we just run, we still have futures. And it's like,
well, you're getting a little ahead of it. Noria flies out in the thorn, and she activates the three remaining gun vulvas who are just started shooting, because at this point, you know, she's any hope of her calming down is kind of gone as she just sees, once again, Spacian oppression.
She hit the permit dab hard.
What's that?
She hit the permit dab hard.
Yeah, she's not doing great. Again, controlling an entire mobile suit takes a lot out of you. But she's blowing everything up. She ends up destroying the Earth House hangar, and Choo Choo is, she's not pissed. She just seems more like mildly inconvenienced. It's like, oh, my demi tray, I can't use it.
Yeah,
so they all have to kind of go find shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like they're all just like heading, and like, I think he thought, and it's like Elon found the other, like, Elon found the Lifrith Ur too. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, so he's gonna go and try and stop Noria. As she continues her destruction, though, Suleta and Petra are trying to evacuate their building. And
yeah, they're like in like class. They were like in class, and they're like running. Like, Petra and Suleta, like, they actually kind of got like a couple kids who got knocked out. Hopefully, they're just knocked out, and like they're trying to get them to safety. And it's like, Petra, like, this is not happening because Lauda stood you up for a date.
It's
like,
so funny. She's waving so many flags right now of, oh, Suleta, after all this, I'm going to make him buy me lunch and dinner for standing me up on our date. What are you going to do when we survive this? Oh, no, the building's collapsing.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
It's like, what show do you think you are in, Petra?
Yeah. She did Robert Downey Jr. voice. She doesn't know she's a Gundam character. So we cut back over to Shadeek and Gwell fighting, where Shadeek just, like, admits to everything. Gwell says, "You set us all this up," and Shadeek says, "Yeah." And Gwell says, "You kidnapped your own father," and Shadeek says, "Yeah." And Shadeek says, "Oh yeah, well, it's kind of all your dad's idea. He came to us in the first place, and I just took advantage of that."
He was like, "Your dad, who you killed."
Yeah, and Loud is listening to all this on the radio, and does the fucking monkey putting his hands over his mouth meme of, "Oh my god,
you killed my brother, you killed his dad, you killed our dad,
my half brother killed my papa." So that's gonna be an issue for another day, but
it's like inside, like back in it, it's like Kananji is like fighting Noria, and she's like mad at, like, and she's like, "Oh, like, you're just a bunch of, like, washed-ups, like, your has-been, your losers, like, come on, like, you, like, got all lazy because there were no more witches what left to hunt, like, blah."
Yeah, she's taunting him, she's pissed. Felsi from Jaturk House takes a Delanza out to fight, too, and even Cecilia says, "Well, You're a good pilot, Choo Choo, but all of our suits are gone, so I guess you can take our brand new Demi Barding. If only your mechanic was here to help fine tune it." The camera pans over, and Nika's like standing in the doorframe, and everyone hoots and hollers and applauds.
Arm is still in a sling, and she still has like bandages all over, and she's like out of breath, and it's like she was like running in the middle of like this fucking war, still beat up, and it's like. Also, during the fight where, like, Noria is, like, taunting Kananji, I don't know what mech was it, but, like, a giant Gundam foot crushed Meereen's.
Oh, Rhea. Yeah, it's one of the demi-garrisons that the school security has.
Python, like, Monty Python.
It's so sad! That's the most harrowing loss that we felt this episode. The greenhouse is gone. I hope that Suleta was able to put a bunch of the tomatoes in the fridge for later.
So we
get a nice little moment of Choo Choo and Felsi fighting side by side against the Gunvolas.
And it was like before that, like when they were like fine tuning the demi trainer with like Nika, like Choo Choo was like mad at Nika for like, it's like, look, like why, like, Choo Choo wants an explanation for everything, and it's like, look, like, we have, like, this huge fight going on in here right now, and, let me just, like, fix this up for you, and, like, I can explain later, like, promise.
Funny enough, this didn't really read as death flags to me. I think it also could be in comparison to Petra from earlier, Petra from earlier, waving a billion flags. I honestly don't think. I think it'll be fine with Nika and Choo Choo. I think that they might end up not dead, and Nika will be able to explain this to Choo Choo because it felt so underplayed that I don't really expect either of them to beef it before the show ends. We'll see. But I guess making my shot now.
I don't remember the rest of Razor Flag. So yeah,
wrong show. So Shadeek and Gwell are continuing to fight. Shadeek kind of like he starts to get into his own ideology a little bit here. He's talking about how he's finally ready to accept his own sins. He's being active enough to grasp power from Spatians for himself, and
you're grasping it for yourself, but like,
what are you gonna do with it, buddy?
Are you doing it for the people? Are you doing it for yourself? For yourself, guy.
I think, and we haven't quite hit the line that I really liked, because in the meantime, he gets a call saying, "Oh, we need 5 minutes to get your ancient father out of here," and he says, "You got it, Chief." Sabina goes to his side, and Gwell just does the damn thing. He uses the floating drone arms of the Darabal to cut Sabina's mobile suit apart. They both survive. They're fine. He cuts the limbs off of both of them, and he cuts the Michaelis' limbs off, and he wins. And his Darabald explodes, but he gets caught by one of the demi garrisons.
Yeah, and it's like Gyul is just like Shadeek said to Gyul during like this fight. It's like if he had just minded your own business and like not kill like, and just, like, left, like, you would have not killed your dad, and you would have, like, stayed in Bob mode forever, and it's like, I would have been able to just do all of this peacefully.
Yeah, someone stop me, I'm shifting to Bob mode. Yeah, no, so at this point is kind of the line that he says that I quite liked. He talks about how, you know, the Benner group wouldn't step in if only Earthians had died, but they would if Spatians did, and you kind of, you see Sirius just think, oh, my poor misguided son. So, I don't know. I don't think he was really... I honestly do think Shadeek tried to have everyone's best interest at heart. I don't think he was doing this for nefarious reasons. I really do think he was just a misguided kid who didn't really have a full grasp of what he was doing here. I don't know. This scene, well, like, as he...
Dude, it's like, now you, like you fucked up. It's like, you bit off way more than you could chew.
Yeah, it seems like he tried to be a ringleader for this whole plan and just couldn't really see past how he thought it would go. So when the plan actually kind of went, like, to shit, he had no answer for it.
And it's like classic Lelouch, only... like, it never actually ended up catching up to Lelouch, because Lelouch was the protagonist. But you're not the protagonist, son.
Nope. Yeah, so, he gets captured and taken away.
But jail.
The fighting is not done inside the academy, though, because Nori is still popping off.
Like, when they were, like, fighting in, like, the Space Assembly League, like, the cops... like, even more space cops showed up, and everybody's getting, like, caught, and, like, Gule's, like, Sabina managed to shoot off all the Darabald's limbs, so it's, like, that Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why he got the floating limbs, that's how he's able to win.
Yeah, it's just a flesh, like, he can fix it with a gun.
Yeah, right. So inside the school, Nori is still popping off fighting Kananji, and this is when Elon finally shows up to try and reason with her, and he grabs her in the Lafrith Ur and says, you know, you always talk about how I'm nothing like Sophie. Guess what? You're nothing like Sophie either. Only Sophie's like Sophie.
Like, let's run away together and never look back.
He basically says, you know, that notebook is your soul. I want to know about you. Like, come with me. I'll help you find out how to live. I'll be at your side. I'll take you to the place, take me to the place in your drawings. And the gun Volvo's kind of powered down as Noria snaps out of it. And Noria says, well, you know, when we do that, can you tell me your real name? Boom! She gets fucking sniped through the cockpit. Goodbye, Noria! Uh-oh! Yeah, it's not good.
He loved her.
I don't think he loved her, but he was catching feelings for her, and he snaps too, and his permit glows, and the gun Volvos start flying around going berserk, and he just flies out of a hole in the front. Kind of goes missing. We just see his empty Gundam later on, so he's around. He didn't die, but...
he is probably the smartest person in this show. Like, just get away from all of this Benneret group fuckery.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely still see him, though. He's around. He didn't go anywhere, but anyway, that's next week. We kind of wake up a little bit later with Suletta, like, waking up in the rubble and looking and seeing Petra covered in 1 billion pounds of rock, gushing blood everywhere.
Like, petrified.
we kind of get some shots of the aftermath as the ending song begins to play, and Sirius is recovered. Loud is fucked up, because, again, he knows that Gwell killed his dad. Bunch of dead kids everywhere. Yeah. Suletta is... I saw this post on this online of, like, how strong Suletta must be to be able to lift up an entire concrete slab by hand.
Strong.
She's strong. She, like, lifts up this entire... It's like, 2 feet by 3 feet slab of concrete, no problem, and puts it down so gently, and... you know, looking for survivors, and all of Earth House is there, and Nika's there, and Suletta just says, hey, can you help me? We can save people right now. So everyone is kind of mobilizing.
Yeah.
It's nice. Again, I mean, I'm glad, you know, it's
everybody's
it's good.
In, like, body bags. It's like, it's amazing that, like, Earth House made it out all in one piece. Like, everybody, I guess, like, everybody from, like, all the other corporations are, like, all fucked up, like, there's supposedly, like, 80 of them in the Benneret group, so, like, yeah.
Gonna be a little bit fewer. But the episode kind of ends there with just this the aftermath of all this destruction. And this is when I started to really fucking like the direction G-Witch is going. Season 1 was good, but Season 2 escalates things in just really, really entertaining, great ways. I'm hoping that the show can keep it strong.
Trying to, like, figure out, like, it is a bit, like, jarring for me because, like, it has, like, I am watching this with a very different vibe from when I watched Wing, because with, like, Wing, when they had, like, a billion different factions just come out of nowhere, it's like, okay, like, I am vibing with this, I am having, like, a fun time, it's all safe, and we're going to have a great time, I'm just, like, watching this with, like, my popcorn bucket ready, and with this, it's like, oh my god, like, this is just, like, spiraling out, and it's like, we only have, like, 3 episodes left. Like, how are we going to end this?
Yeah, the way things are going, it is starting to think there might not be a second season. It's just going to be this.
They would have to be crazy to not do a second season. Like, Ariel is already out. Like, Ariel alone was, like, probably, like, the best-selling first run of a Gunpla
ever. Oh, no, yeah, Ariel sold more than literally any other Gunpla in history. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's, like, she managed to beat, like, Strike Gundam numbers, and it's, like, Sunrise Bandai has to be, like, looking at that. It's, like, oh my god.
Yeah, Daddy Bandai gotta get paycheck. We'll see.
On our hands.
Yeah, but I mean, again, we'll see. We have 4 more episodes after this.
Would have to be crazy to not make more Adstella content.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If they end G-Witch itself after a season, I wouldn't mind this being one of the AUs they, like, go back to. Again, we'll see. 4 more episodes. I don't know how it ends at this point. We'll find out in a couple weeks. Very excited though. I'm really, really liking it. Well, before we go for this one episode, I do have a little bit of a Beyond Toon world.
You're going to love this. Trust me. Beyond Toon world!
I did research for once because I had time. As I was reaching this guy, I was like, I swear to God, I've talked about this person before. And I genuinely can't tell where it was. I don't think it was on this show. I don't think it was on Yu-Gi-Oh! I remember I was telling his roles to Audrey from Yu-Gi-Oh! But it wasn't during a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode, and it wasn't during a G-Gundam episode. So anyway, this is Yoji Ueda, who is the voice of one Kenanji Avery. And I look at this guy's other Gundam roles, and he isn't in a Gundam show I've watched either, for the podcast at least. So again, I don't know where the hell I talk about this guy. Maybe I just looked up his roles and was talking to Audrey about him. But regardless.
Who was he in Gundam?
We'll get there. So, Yoji Ueda, I didn't even actually, like, find out his biographical information, so let me just pull up. Yoji Ueda was born August 7th, 1971, in Hyogo, Japan.
He's a Leo.
He's a Leo. He's been active since 2001. It's a pretty long, long time. He's done a lot of stuff. I didn't write down every role, because he's a ton of roles, but a lot of the bigger ones. Let's see. One of his earliest roles and most long-standing roles in Naruto, he was Gamakichi, who's Naruto's cool toad friend. He was like the little baby toad who grew up to be an adult toad during Shippuden. He did a fun little bit role in Yu-Gi-Oh! GX as Kozaki, who is this kind of demon salaryman one-off villain during season 3 of GX. It was very weird. He's the voice of some of the pawns in Dragon's Dogma, a phenomenal video game that everyone needs to play. In a couple of his Gundam roles, in Gundam Thunderbolt, he voices Sebastian Morse. And in the Doan's Island movie, he voices Waldo Ren. Two characters I don't know.
Waldo Ren's, like, weird failed brother, like...
Yeah, he's one of the Knights of Ren.
Nobody knows that he is there, like, Han and Leia had a second kid, but, like, and he also joined the Knights of Ren, but after that, nobody knows where he went. Nobody knows where he went.
A mobile suit. Let's see. He several roles in Transformers Cyberverse, namely Wheeljack, Soundwave, and Ratchet as the big ones.
Those are, like, big deal guys.
Yeah, they're big deal guys! They're very important, from what I understand, which is not much. In the anime of a series very close to my heart, Monster Hunter Ride On. He's the main character's father. Monster Hunter Ride On being an anime of Monster Hunter stories, which is what if Monster Hunter was just Pokemon instead, which is a pretty cool sub-series. A couple more video game roles in Stranger Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. He voices the Dark Elf Astos.
He is in that game.
He's in that game. We gotta kill Chaos.
Such a fucking... Like, it's like nothing like anything else in Final Fantasy. It is such a meme, and it's like, I am like kind of into Final Fantasy, but like I've never actually played any of the games because I'm really bad at video games. But it is like, that game is such a meme.
It's a genuinely fun game. I really, really enjoy it. It's also very violent. You get to fucking just punch a Tonberry into the dirt, kicks ass. Hello, Train. More video game roles. In Fire Emblem Engage, he plays Vandre, who I think is like the Frederick of that game. The dude you
I
get.
I don't know who Frederick is.
It's an archetype in Fire Emblem where you get a unit who's kind of an old mentor early on, who's already an upgraded class, but just has terrible growth, so he's kind of just a crutch in the early game. He plays one of the main villains in Xenoblade Chronicles 3. He plays Console D, who's one of the main sort of Mobius villains in that game. Cool guy, fun design. Let's see some of the bigger ones. He's Drive Knight in One Punch Man anime. I've read that one. So the last two are pretty wild. In JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, he voices Robert E.O. Speedwagon, everyone's favorite friend. Speedwagon withdraws coolly. And the wildest one, the voice of Kananji Avery, Yoji Ueda, is the Japanese dub voice of Squidward Tentacles.
Squidward
Tortellini. Yeah, he's fucking Squidward ever since season 9 of SpongeBob, which, going off of how many seasons SpongeBob's had, it's like more than half the show at this point, probably.
He's Squidward. He's like, these two people could not be more different, even though, I mean, I have no idea if Squidward become a cop if he had the opportunity, but it's like, this guy is like, kind of like, just like, yay, I am happy to be back in action, and somebody remembers I exist and thinks I'm cool.
Squidward would like people
but
to think
I
cool,
don't
though.
Get swept up in a revenge plot.
Yeah, he has the range, though. That's Yoji Ueda. Pretty good.
He certainly has range.
Yeah. So that will bring us to the end of our show. But before that, Phoenix, what is your robot of the week?
I can't believe nobody has actually said this robot.
It's Bender. I'm going to throw a fucking fit.
Space trial. Putting the system on trial. In space. Guilty. Guilty of not being space. Go to space jail. Uh-oh. Here comes the space cops. Space cops help. Space cops in space. I am talking about Space Corps from Portal 2.
That motherfucker was so funny back in the day.
Here comes the space cops. This one is thematically appropriate, and I cannot believe nobody has said Space Corps on our space robot show yet. Like, that dude, it's like, I want a Portal revival. Like, I want it to be, like, big again, like, out of nowhere. Like, come on. We need a Portal revival. And Space Corps was funny, is still funny, and will always be funny. Space Corps, you will always be famous. I love you.
We love you, Space Corps. Mwah. Well, very nice. Hey, where can we find you on the internet, Phoenix?
I am still actually on the run from the space cops after all the shit I pulled last episode. You can find all my socials linked very conveniently. I've just been kind of busy and haven't really gotten to updating that website, but you can find me. Like, the space cops are still hunting me for my hacker crimes, but you can They can find, y'all can find me on thankkushranada.neocities.org.
The internet is alive. And I'm on Twitter at Maxi Bajillion. I'm on Tumblr at Maxi Bajillion. I have other shows, including Pod of Greed at Pod of Greed Cast and Splappers Only at Splappers Only Pod, both on Twitter. Never mind, the Trolloc's going to come back this year because Wheel of Time Season 2 is happening in September. This show is on Twitter at Wow Cool Podcast. We have a Discord link in the episode description, the Twitter header. Come hang out. Post your gunpla. This show is on noisepace.xyz, a podcast network. Hang out. I guess you can hang out on the website if you want. There's a lot of other shows there. Go check them all out. That's everything, I think. So, as we say goodbye, as we always say at the end of every episode, war is bad.
Let's go, lesbians. Let's go.